With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to the Jock Time AFL Podcast, round 18, 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is very disappointed by his Uber driver on the weekend. It's Adam Rosenbach.
Hi, g'day, Michael. We're on the eve of the finals. It's all happening. We've still got the Port Adelaide and Collingwood game to come tonight. But so Saturday, I needed to go out and get myself an Uber. We're in Melbourne. I was allowed to go to a Bubble Buddy's place. I was taking advantage of that. So I jumped on the Uber. I had my mask on. I was going to sit in the back seat, going to have the window open. And it said that your driver, Gary, will be arriving very shortly. And I get in, and it's none other than Gary Ablett Sr.
No
and
way.
And I tell you what, I was excited.
Bloody hell, a lot to talk about.
Yeah, like I should have known because I looked at the app and the number plates were God. And I was like, well, of course, who else would it be? So I get in and I got to say, it was a 3-minute drive, but Gary, he took me the long way, my friend. 27 minutes we're on the road for. And some of the stuff that he had to say. Now, Michael, I know that you are a religious man. You come from a religious background. But I tell you what, you haven't taught me these bits of the Bible that Gary talked me through.
Yeah, sure.
I learned a lot of things that I was not aware of. That there's a lot of sin going on that I wasn't aware was around me.
Yeah,
been going on.
He's pretty confident that the rapture is about to happen, end time. So Jesus is meant to show up at the end.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure whether we were driving around looking for him. I was like, Gary, you need to left back there, mate. That's not all right. Have you got any mint? And he said, no, mints are the work of the devil. And I was like, fuck, that's interesting. I just thought it was just to keep your breath fresh.
It's actually funny he's actually been an Uber driver because in one of the rants he talked about how the Illuminati wants a cashless society. And so it's kind of funny like he's driving for Uber because like that's cashless. Yeah. Practice what you preach, Gary.
He took cash from me at the end. Should he not have done that?
He talks about how the Illuminati wants to get the world's population down to 500 million.
Okay.
And that also they've been working on that since 1778, I think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Actually, in terms of the cashless thing, I know a very high, powerful banker. And he dreams of a cashless society. So maybe Gary isn't that far out of line.
Oh, I didn't think so. By the end of the trip, I was right on board with him. I was like, I will see you again next week for another drive, Mr. Ablett. But I'll tell you what, though, for a recluse, do you reckon he was just sitting back and he's just gone, now's the time?
For sure.
People have been waiting to hear from Gary Ablett Sr. for a long, long time. And I feel in the middle of a plandemic that this is the perfect time for me to mount the phone on the corner of my screen in my car.
Yep.
And drive around for 27 specific minutes. And I hope that he stayed within a 5K radius of his house because otherwise you're breaking some serious laws in Victoria, my friend.
Where had he been, I wonder? Like, do you think he was just going from his house to his house? Or do you think I'd like to think he was coming from the car yard where he got jumped one night and bashed. I like to think that.
Or perhaps he
bashed
was going
with the bells.
Or did he go to the laneway where he and Ricky Nixon punched on? Like, is that the starting point for all rants?
No wonder Ricky kicked him out of the house. It's like, fuck, Gary. Fucking, I've had enough. Stop talking about the Illuminati.
I know. I know you're talking about getting the world's population down to 500 million, but do you have to start here?
Yeah, I love the idea of a Gary Ablett YouTube channel. It is fantastic. What next? What are we going to get next? Makeup tips. I'm unboxing.
That's not bad. Yeah, him cutting a cake.
I reckon, I hope he goes on Cameo. If you chip in for a birthday message from Gary Ablett in 25 minutes.
That's not bad. Would he make sure, though? Would he... See, he's on a phone that can record, but is he... What if he drifts into 5G? What does he do with the phone then? Does he fucking throw it in a creek?
Dude. We hope you well, Gary. We hope you well.
We do hope you well. Massive week in footy already. The delistings have started. The retirements. We're losing players left, right and centre. North Melbourne. So they basically finished their round 18 game. They've gone... Dusted the hands of 11 players. They've already come out and gone, you 11, fuck off. That's like, that's a quarter of the list just gone in one fell swoop.
Yeah, for incredible. Sure. What, some of the big names, probably the most noticeable name, I suppose, was Matt Jack Dorr. Just by the
yeah,
fact.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think that.
All that journey like, back, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that he'd kind of found his place as a backman. I didn't think he'd done a particularly bad job when he was playing last year.
Yeah, sure. And that's not to say that it's over for these 11 players. There are still obviously chances to be picked up at other clubs. There's a few that kind of, I suppose, you were probably expecting.
Do you reckon, though, if you are coming from a team that's gone quite poorly and you're delisted, you've got less of a chance than if you're delisted from a top four team? Like, you know, you look at someone and go... he played for North Melbourne last year and he couldn't get a game. There's a lot of stink. Like, they're putting a lot of faith in Reece Shaw's selection.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, for sure. You make the argument, if you know you can't get into a Port Adelaide, you go, well, that's because, you know, the possible chance
to win
the
flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you finish, 17th, yeah, it's maybe a little bit more difficult for you. But I do hope Mad Jack does get another run. That'd be cool to see.
It would be good. But what about Jared Pollock? So he, like, they've delisted 11. Everyone knows he's not going to be there next year. How do you reckon he's feeling? He's like, what did I do wrong? Like, sure, I didn't chase or tackle, but you guys got me and paid me the big bucks. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, then you know what I'm like.
And there's also talk that Ben Brown might be moving on as well. A few people might be
hasn't
up to him.
His,
but he
hasn't
also,
his star fallen?
Well, he also talked about maybe this one being the end too.
This one being the end?
Yeah, final year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's not entirely sure himself, I think.
So, again, with him, like, I haven't had a star-studded midfield at North Melbourne.
No.
He's just sitting down there. He's getting balls just kicked on his head. They're all fucking all over the shop. And then people go, Ben Brown can't play. He's like, it's got fucking nothing to do with me.
Yeah, sure. I can't get it
you
going.
The ball
it's on the
on fucking
chest. Other end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's not much I can do with that.
I talked to a few North Melbourne friends, and they were pretty happy with it, actually. They all kind of enjoy it. They like the idea that Reece kind of went, you know, no mass, and cut through the list.
Yeah.
Aren't you impressed, though? I've got friends.
No, I'm surprised you've got, you know, both North Melbourne supporters.
And then also your mate, Cade Simpson, he pulled the pin.
Did he? Did he pull the pin, Michael?
How will he go down in the Carlton Pantheon?
I mean, probably in the top... He'd be in the top 20. I mean, you know, the longevity, it hurts his status that he didn't play in a lot of winning teams.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
That kind of, but, you know, he was always, he's a heart and soul player. He gave his all. He was always courageous. And when the ball was in his area, you knew that he was probably going to win his battle. So for a Carlton supporter, we fucking loved him because he gave every week. But when you put him, you know, there's some fucking great players he's up against.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, Craig Bradley played like 1,000 matches.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Bruce Dool's a legend of the club. Stephen Silvani. So he's sitting alongside some great company, but those players all won, you know, premierships.
Yeah, sure. What was it about? It was about 340 in the end?
Yeah, something like that. And also a record amount of losses.
Yeah,
that's got to hurt.
Yeah, you don't want your name connected to that, do you?
No, and you would think that it's probably a record that you can't see being broken. Like, it needs to be a side... That is, like, it needs to be a North Melbourne player who was picked up, say, last year, who's a bit of a gun, but is going to be in for a sustained 18-year period of shit.
I can't remember who the player of current-day players who was the second on the list. But
Nathan Jones.
That's right, yeah. And then number three?
Mark Murphy.
Did you watch?
So we're doing really well. I can't see. So Nathan Jones won't probably get a chance to get a crack at it because I imagine he'll be part of the delistings from or retirements from Melbourne, you would imagine, going forward.
Sure. Has a tramp stamp of his own name. Or Jones.
Is that right?
Tramp stamp of Jones. And I believe his brother has one as well.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
Imagine, say, they're on holidays with their mum and dad and they're going down the beach and it's like, oh, which ones are your two boys? I just... those two with Jones written across their lower backs. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You must be proud of them.
What a fucking weird thing to do.
You don't have Chamberlain written across your lower back?
It's too long.
Yeah, that's true.
10 letters.
You could get Chambo.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. 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 Okay, I'll give my brother a yell.
Well, one of the...
Say, hey, are you a fucking psychopath? Because I'm a psychopath.
I'm talking a weird tattoo. There was a story during the week about Charlie Cameron, the Brisbane goal sneak. He had a tattoo of Julio Jones, who's a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. He has a tattoo of Jones in full American football gear on his calf. Now, do you think, is it odd for an adult to get a tattoo of another adult who's not like a movie star?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Is Julio like a particularly great player?
He is a very, very good wide receiver and will be remembered as such, but he's not like, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's never, you know, he's a great player, but he's not in the same conversation as like your Tom Brady or...
Yeah, sure.
Your players like that. And I don't think he's won an MVP for a season. Like, he's good, but he's not tattoo on your calf worthy, I wouldn't have thought.
How large is the tattoo?
Well, it covers his whole calf. Sheesh. So...
You're not getting that on a whim, I don't think.
No, he's obviously a big fan of the way Julio Jones goes about it. But just if I got a tattoo of you on my calf, how would you feel about it?
Okay, I got two stories. So, Josh Caddy, he has a tattoo on his calf of essentially an Instagram model. I can't remember her name. Maybe she might be like Russian or something. Very attractive
good.
Lady, but he has a tattoo of her on his calf. So how do you think that makes his partner feel?
That's a really fucking strange tat to just go. Yeah. Here's someone younger than me, an entrepreneur, and I'm getting a tattoo of her on my leg. That is very odd.
And it covers the whole calf. It's a very big, very big tattoo. But then also. I remember seeing a stand-up years ago.
Well, you were thinking about getting a Nadia Bartel on your calf.
Yeah.
To go with your Rebecca Judd one.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I imagine those. Yeah. I'm on my pythons, hey? If Rebecca Judd don't get you, Nadia Bartel will.
Double cobras.
There was a comic up here years ago. I saw him do a gig. He went out on a date with a girl, and then on the second date, she showed him a tattoo that she'd got. And it was a picture of him.
Okay.
He'd gone out on one date with her. How frightened would you be?
No, see, it's always, people are always too afraid to show their feelings.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you like someone, you fucking go ahead and show it.
Yeah, sure. You know, the cynic in me, love is love. Love is love
exactly.
Is love is love.
And if it doesn't work out and people go, who's that? She goes, it's a comic I went on a date with once. And you go, oh, are you married? Like, no, just it was the one date.
It was the one date. Yeah, gotcha. Well, look, I think I might swipe left on this one. you're a clean skin, aren't you?
I am a clean skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because every tattoo I wanted to get when I was younger, because I do like a tat, except that, everyone's got them now. But I'm very glad that I don't have like a huge Metallica tattoo across my back because
gotcha.
That's cool.
Yeah, gotcha. I know a guy with a big Motorhead one on his back. Just a massive.
Really? Fuck it out.
Yeah,
you've
massive,
got to love the band.
Massive fan, yeah. Really cool guy. Really cool guy.
But I suppose though, if a band is not releasing any more albums, you're better off doing it because if I got my Metallica one and then they release like the album Sananga, which was an absolute fucking shit fight of an album. Then that's when you're like, oh, fucking hell, they've gone, they've taken a turn. But if they've done a whole catalogue, back catalogue, and you're very comfortable with it, like a lot of people would have the Rolling Stones mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Ruffy has one of a hawk for a premiership win. I don't think it was 08. I think it was eventually, I think a group of them maybe eventually after they'd won a couple went to get one in a tattoo parlour. I think they're overseas. And I think Ruffy went in first and... They all looked at it and thought it was a bit shit, so didn't get one. I think that's the story.
That's harsh. It's one, mate. It's fucking one in all in footy.
Did you find it awesome that the Demons were in the eight for 24 hours?
I think if there was ever going to be an end to the season written, then I think that is the perfect end scenario. That Melbourne were in there and they probably should have easily been in the finals before that. They dropped a couple of games, but they managed to somehow get over the line against the Bombers. They sat in there. It was up to the Western Bulldogs to knock them out, and didn't they do it with ease?
Now, it wasn't as funny as the one a couple of years ago where I think they... You know, people literally doing the sums in the final minutes, like, you know, working out percentage. Yeah, that was
percentage based. That was even better. Yeah,
but also, I mean, I know the two guys, one cup, kind of they coined Richmondy, but I think is it time maybe now we start Melbourne-y, like, just by the fact it was a very Melbourne-y performance.
Yeah, I think you'd expect that from Melbourne. That's as a Melbourne supporter when they finished ninth on percentage. Although they're half a game out, you go, yeah, that's what I expect from my team. I wouldn't expect them to romp into the finals and 17th. That was an aberration. We weren't expecting that. This ninth, perfect.
But then also, I mean, you think back to, like, you know, the early rounds. They were getting lambasted by everybody. Like, they did very well to get that close, actually. I mean, everyone's calling for, like, Simon Goodwin to get rid of him. What's the thing? What's the joke about, you know, getting Simon Goodwin to coach it? There was a joke. It was a very good joke. Remember that joke?
Oh, about if you wanted to get rid of COVID, you get
right.
Simon Goodwin to coach it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that doesn't actually make sense, but yeah, but you know, you're in the ballpark. Yeah,
I didn't fucking write it, mate. Don't throw other people's jokes at me to try and remember.
And then their president came out and said that they one particular performance was un-Melbourne-like, which was I had to look up the dictionary to find out what Melbourne-like was. But
we don't give away our jumpers in Wheaties boxes. Wheatbix, excuse me, not Wheaties.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, it's always next year, Melbourne fans, but let's face it, there won't be.
Yeah, but what I love is that all their players were focused right to the end. Even Harley Bunnell, he went, you know what, the season might be over, but I tell you, me costing the team $50,000, that's not over. I am going to get drunk at the hub and then go out and go to a mate's place and break all the quarantines.
He did, so he got a four-week suspension, got kicked back down to Melbourne. I think $50,000, I think, might be 25 suspended, I think.
No suspension, $50,000.
Whole kit and caboodle, great.
Yep.
So he went to mate's place and then he went to an unapproved venue.
Yes.
Which I'm not totally sure what that quite means, but it also sounds a bit suspicious. And was it a bikey hangout? It's unapproved.
But also, I think he must have done a couple of things because he said he was going to a mate's place to get a baby seat for his car.
Oh, okay.
And then he, like, his car ran out of fuel and he got a lift from the police and got, they dropped him off at this person's house.
Oh, that's a lot.
It was like all these different things. And you're like, all right, what are you up to, Harley?
There is a lot going on in that story, yeah.
But you think for someone who's on their 84th chance,
sure, yeah,
you'd probably just have a few brewskis in the hub, and stay there.
And I imagine I like to think that the unapproved venue, like I'm going to presume it was like maybe somebody's house or something. I don't know, but I like the idea that it was like the Gill has a list of all the approved venues of the Gold Coast, so he went around to all the venues to kind of make sure that they're above board, and so he had kind of, you know, sample the nightlife of the Gold Coast himself to give it, you know, give the tick of approval of venues.
Not unlike what Eddie Maguire has done for the great state of Victoria.
Yeah, sure. So Gil would walk around and be like, the shooting range at Surfers Paradise Shopping Centre. Tick. Madame Tussauds. Tick. Yeah.
Cinema with a fourth dimension.
Yes.
No way. It cannot exist in our lifetime.
King Tut's putt-putt. Tick, tick, tick. And remember,
so
too,
Eddie
the
Maguire,
junk timers. Actually, just very quickly, for the junk timers out there, not long left of spotting people in the hub. And we do have those double passes to King Tut's putt-putt still on offer.
Absolutely. So Eddie Maguire got himself, well, not really in trouble, but he had to answer some questions. There were photos that surfaced of him being out at the Pink Flamingo on the weekend. So now Eddie has come out and defended it and said he's on a board, a Victorian board, and he went out to see how venues handled life in the COVID era.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, what, you know, how the social distancing worked, how they dealt with, you know, crowds, all that kind of stuff. And he would take that information back to Victoria when he eventually arrived here. And good on him for doing that. You know, I think on the behalf of all 5 million Victorians, we say thank you, Eddie, for going out on a Saturday night with your son and then, to the Pink Flamingo.
And then he said that really for the next month or so, he's essentially in Queensland as a game show host.
Yeah.
So they're doing Hot Seat up there. So he said, you know, it's just by chance. You know, my team could be in finals and I happen to be the president of Collingwood Football Club. But I am I am here, my number one priority is is Millionaire Hot Seat.
So he's not in the AFL hub.
Millionaire Hot Seat, which if you watch Hot Seat, I clearly don't want to be there. And I'm trying to do it as quickly as I possibly can so I can fuck off.
Yeah. So he's not in the AFL hub and neither is Gil McLaughlin.
So I think they're saying that he's out of the hub by the fact that means he can go and meet with, you know, powerful people, go and meet face-to-face with premiers and stuff like that.
So he went to the Pink Flamingo with his son on Saturday night. He said, because he's... And why is his son up there? Why is his whole fucking family up there?
It's a good question, actually. I don't know which son it is. I've met one of them, and he was a really, really nice guy, actually. So I was kind of happy with that, too. I was like, oh, I'm glad you're a good bloke.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. But you just wonder, like, if Eddie's whole family are up there, why are they up there as, you know, relations of the host of Millionaire? Is that the capacity that they're up there under?
Well, maybe the son is like the adjudicator or something on Hot Seat. Yeah. Maybe like might have got an internship or something and then works there. And so when they, you know, ask Janet from the Goldie a question and she gets kind of half right, they go to the son and say, like, you know, do we give her the $25,000?
Or does he do the pre-interviews where people give their weirdest life story?
You know,
This is Michael. He once got run over by Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah, sure.
Out the front of a pub.
Yeah, gotcha. This is Nathan. He has a tattoo of Jones on his back. And so does his brother.
Yeah.
But Pink Flamingo, it's part nightclub.
Great. Well, of course. That name screams to be great, great part nightclub as well.
And part cabaret venue. So they have a show called Suave.
Fuck.
So I don't actually know if the nightclub bit is actually open at the minute. So Eddie could have been taking him to a bit of cabaret.
And why wouldn't you? Oh, if any place does cabaret well, it's the Gold Coast.
So you can... Oh, there's a dress code. Smart casual.
So that's basically like the MCC.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think there's a 25-year wait to get into the members list for Pink Flamingo.
Yeah.
Nightclub is open from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Okay, so I think you take in the show, and then you can talk about the show in the nightclub afterwards.
Yeah, great. So would the show be something like maybe like a Dracula's type cabaret?
I think it's a bit more saucy than that. Do you remember? There's a picture of the guy here, and he kind of seems to be doing kind of acrobat-y kind of stuff. Do you remember? Is that the Click? They're a big deal at like fringe festivals for a while. They probably still are.
Okay.
And they would do, like, there was a guy kind of would do almost like a kind of gymnast routine in a bathtub.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Clique.
Yeah, okay, gotcha, yeah, yeah. So yes. I think it's a bit more like that. I think it's a bit more sophisticated.
Almost burlesque,
I think you might be a bit that, yeah. Like, there seems to be a lot of cleavage going on, a lot of corsets and... And, there's a lot of skin, I suppose.
Oh, well, I can see why Eddie and the youngster went there.
Did you see that tweet? Was it Mark Stevens during the week? And he talked about Collingwood were training with the ball in baby oil.
Yeah, so obviously it's getting pretty greasy up in Queensland at the moment, which it's clearly going to affect the grand final, the way things seem to be playing out. Very dewy there up at night.
I get very nervous when I have to say that word. I get very nervous how it will come out. But then, I mean, I suppose it's no different to, like, say, you know, the 2009 grand final when it was, you know, windy and wet. Like, you can only control what you can control. And it's
been, that's true.
It'll be the same for both teams. And, you know, a little bit of dew, I can handle that. And also, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a super high-scoring game anyway, because none of them have been.
Yeah, that's true. But would you have said that baby oil and water is the way to prepare for that? Like, I just imagined baby oil makes it almost impossible to handle. Like, no grand final is going to be that humid and dewy that you cannot pick up the ball.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I mean, I suppose it's like... give you super skills, wouldn't it? So even if it's, you know, quarter dewy of the residue of baby oil, then you're getting a benefit. But then also, how do you clean it off? I figure it would kind of fuck that ball forever.
Yeah, that's a good point. They just don't care, Collingwood, clearly. They're trying to get the advantage. Well, we'll see tonight if it actually plays out quite well. If they are handling the ball like it's a dry day in Melbourne, and clearly you can see the humidity is up around 80%, then every other team will be, you know, kicking baby-oiled balls around. And but also, why don't you just fashion a ball out of soap? Therefore, it becomes a literal cake of soap. And if you can handle that, I mean, fuck, it hurt to kick and stuff and handball, but you get rock-solid feet and hands, and you, if you can mark that overhead, mate, you can mark anything.
And also, okay, you know when the ball's soaked in water and it's cold and windy and you get kicked in the face?
Yep.
Do you think it's worse if it's covered in baby oil, or do you think it slides off easier?
Well, I think it's probably worse, but at least then it moisturises your face at the same time.
Yeah,
so you get really shiny side of your head.
Yeah, sure. They come off and they go like, hey, put your finger out. You don't even look like you're running. Your skin looks delicious.
When you were younger, when you played juniors, did you always get liniminted up on your arms?
That's a good question, actually. Probably, I think it was maybe more of a senior thing, but I wasn't really a big one. I put a bit of the kind of glue on my hands. And I think I would actually wipe that on my jumper. I think my jumper was always fucked up at the end of the game because I'd put stuff on and then put it on my jumper. But that was more just wiping it off. I wasn't thinking to myself, oh, if I get a chest mark, it's going to stick. So that was more my bag. And blistering.
Yeah, no,
and blistering
speed. Get that gummy stuff. What's that?
And blistering speed. That was my
point. Yeah, sure. You can't teach that. Whenever you got the ball, a foot race ensued.
I heard an interview with Andy Gowers the other day, and he always wore a long sleeve jumper, well, most occasions. And that was back in the day of the woolen jumper. And so he said, I didn't genuinely believe it, but there was part of my head that thought that maybe if the ball was wet, it wouldn't slip through as much if I was wearing a long sleeve jumper.
Yeah.
So I thought,
but you look at someone like Tom Hawkins, he is oiled up. So the first person to attempt to tackle him around his arms would have oiled hands.
Yeah, it'd be gross too. It'd be like, it'd be yucky, yeah.
Yeah, like slipping off someone in a mosh pit who hasn't got a top on.
But then also I was sort of thinking about the training in the hub, right? So I think this was an article a couple of weeks ago about Gary Hablett and Shane Edwards and who was the other one? They were training together.
Dan Hannabury.
I think you're right, yeah. And they said that if they kicked the ball over the fence, due to the rules of the hub, they weren't allowed to go over the fence and get it.
Yes, that's right.
Which I found quite fascinating. But there was quite an interesting article about the hub. I go through some of the figures, mate, the tail of the tape.
Yeah, because it hasn't been cheap for the AFL, has it?
Fuck no. It's about $60 million. So they've spent $5 million on a test, 50,000 tests, at $100 bucks a pop. And then they've spent more than 100,000 nights on hotels.
Fucking hell. Do you reckon they could have, like, at least got some sort of discount on that?
You hope, yeah. You know, get on a Travelocity or whatever. And
Or why didn't they go for, like, an Airbnb? Just one enormous house, you know? Pump some money back into that economy.
And that's a good point, because no one's doing Airbnb right now. So they could have. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's, you know who they're hurting. They're common Australians.
That is true.
And also, who wouldn't want to billet a couple of dozen AFL players in their house?
If you owned one of those resorts, though, you are fucking loving it. Like, for what, 3 months, they've been chockers?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean,
imagine having the catering for that joint.
I mean, I know from my quarantine time, like, that, I can't imagine that hotel had much business during the year. And so for at least 2 weeks, they had about 40, 50 people.
Well, particularly not in Melbourne, they wouldn't have had anyone.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how many people were, staying there in general. But and again, I generally don't know because you couldn't leave the room, so it's not like I could see people in the hall. I did fuck a security guard. Sorry, I left that out. But they have 400,000 meals they had to pay for,
And that's just Jake Stringer. They go, Jake, you can't. There's no such thing as pre-dinner, mate. What are you doing?
Oh, mate, he's fucking big. He's big. He's got a dad bod.
Yeah. Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really needs to actually pull the finger out over the preseason and do something. Like, I was watching him, yesterday? Day before, maybe?
Saturday, yeah.
He got a bit of a tummy.
Yeah, which you can't hide these days because the jumpers are so skin tight. Grant Birchall is the same, but you go. It's Grant Birchall. He's been around for 14 years.
Sure,
he's earned the right.
He had like 3 years off, you know, like where he kind of couldn't do anything.
Yeah, he's earned the right to pork up, but yeah, the Stringer, and they kind of came for Stringer on the weekend as well. Like I was saying, he's unfit. He can't get to contests.
Oh God,
he gets a stitch running through the banner. Like he's just. He's super unfit.
Yeah, he really wanted to toss the coin because he thought there was chocolate in it. they've chartered 120 flights. They've done 950 bus rides.
Oh, bus rides are fairly cheap, I imagine. Fuck, flights have got to hurt you, don't they? Why don't the AFL just buy a plane?
Well, I don't know. Did Virgin come to the party with that, you know, in terms of the sponsorship and stuff like that?
I mean, they would...
They try not to, because they're an airline.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
They've rented 10 gyms and 18 sporting grounds, and then they've also paid for 25 facials for Brooke Cotchin.
But I guess too, you don't even think about having to rent a sports ground. Like if you and I wanted to go for a kick, you just go, we'll go down the Oval. But of course, they've got to hire it for fucking 3 months.
Yeah, and make sure people aren't there. Yeah, I remember. Years ago, my brother was playing cricket in London, and London being still going through, but there was a very big outcry about a string of teenage stabbings.
Uh huh.
And he said they showed up to the ground and they'd been double booked with like a soccer group or something of teenagers.
Yeah.
And they were just like, "Yeah, man, have the ground, have it. We don't want to get stabbed. Let's have it. Cancel the game. We're all fine.
We'll move on."
Hey, we'll wrap it up shortly, I think, Adam. We've got one more story. Yeah. I suppose bittersweet news. Oh, did you see Stratton's goal? That was pretty fucking sick.
It was good. Yeah. It was nice. And, you know, the players, that was his second goal?
Second goal. I think he kicked one in his, like, 17th game. And then that was his 202nd.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Get around the captain.
Yeah.
Players loved it, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it was 15 from Jack Gunston, but the umpire let it. And then Poppy too. I've had a couple of dinners with Poppy through our friend of the show, Craig Coombe. So farewell to Poppy as well. But where's probably the biggest retirement of the year, I suppose?
Well, one that kind of shocked me. I thought he could have kept going. But
we wanted him to keep going, yeah.
Yeah, we do. We always love a low dog in this game. And this one, it's always sad to see the back of a low dog.
AFL umpire Sean Ryan is going to be departing the game after 346 games and did about 7 grand finals, I believe.
Yeah. And we'd already said goodbye to the fucking low dog once. And then he does this to us again. Like, how many times can you fucking retire?
Yeah. He retired, I think, at the end of 2011. Yeah.
He did.
So we just want to send a shout out to this fucking low dog cheat. we wish him well in retirement. And, you know, I mean, it's probably hard to get back into normal life, being you're a fucking low dog cheating dog. And
what I love too, I'm not sure if he has filled out his Wikipedia page, but it says here, Ryan was generally criticised for his team's umpiring performance and subsequent defence of the criticism following the 2019 Anzac Day clash between Essendon and Collingwood. The game made headlines due to significant booing at the end of the game and post-match by Essendon supporters who were angered by what they perceived as a series of poor umpiring decisions in the final quarter.
That's the one. Yeah, that's when Pendles got booed at the end of the game and Bucks came out and said, don't be booing a champion. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Well, that's his fault. So that's Sean Ryan.
Yeah.
Caused booing of Pendles. Yeah. You owe Pendles an apology, you fucking dog.
Just one of the fucking lowlights of that guy's entire fucking career. And, you know, we just want to, you know, say farewell. And, you know, you are, of the lowest of low dogs, you're the fucking lowest of the lot.
Yeah. And we'll miss you.
We're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeFFPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, Hinge, Tinder, TikTok, and the Gram.
Go Blue. We're gonna make it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.